Well, it's a blessing always to see so many children in our church and so many families, and it's a blessing to be here this morning and just to open the Bible, the Word of God, and just, as the Bible says, come together and reason as we study the Scriptures. Now, this morning, I just wanted to share a couple things that are in my heart, and I'm just a messenger this morning, so I just pray that the Holy Spirit we'll speak to my heart and we'll speak to yours. Let's just bow our heads and we'll invite the Holy Spirit here this morning. Heavenly Father, wonderful God, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, another day of life, Lord, that we can come here and worship you. And Father, this morning as we open your word, we pray that you will impress upon our hearts, dear Father, that you are so good to us, and impress upon our hearts your truth, Father, that the devil and his ways may be exposed as we look at some of the ways that Satan is using to attack us as a people, attack us as a family, Father. But we pray that in your strength, Lord, we will come through. We ask that you fill us and fill this place with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that this message may come from you this morning. We ask this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in Spain, and I'm from Spain, I'm a Spaniard, its people are known throughout the world for its love of olive oil. Half of the world's oil is produced from this tiny little country in the Mediterranean called Spain. Now, I just want to share with you on the 1st of May, going back in history a little bit, 1st of May 1981, going back to Madrid, Spain. A little 8-year-old boy, his name was Jaime Garcia, fell ill and he died, sadly, in his mother's arms on his way to La Paz Children's Hospital. Now, the doctors quickly learning that his other 5 brothers and sisters were also ill, placed them immediately into intensive care. From this point on, an unusual outbreak of a pulmonary disease was being reported throughout Madrid. It was eventually linked to a toxic substance which led to 351 fatalities. Autopsies revealed poisoning, and it was traced back to what was termed denatured industrial colza, oil derived from rapeseed. What the manufacturers had done, what these producers had done, was they started to introduce cheap cooking oil and blending it with its extra virgin olive oil. The oil that they used, derived from rapeseed, some of you may not know, is canola. Canola is great for a biodiesel. It's great for industrial purposes. And this is not a health lesson today, but there is a message behind this story. But it's not, doesn't matter how much you refine it, it doesn't matter how much marketing goes behind it, it is not fit for human consumption. And I won't spend more time or too much time going into the ins and outs of canola, but the manufacturer's scheme to make this cheap oil, it backfired badly. The public was incensed, especially given that Spain is the mother country of olive oil. The result, 351 deaths later, 38 people sentenced to a total of 600 years in prison. And this went down, friends, in the history books, known as the Spanish cooking oil scandal. Now, in Italy, recently, because it wasn't just confined to Spain, in Italy, it was recently revealed that the Italian government had investigated 787 olive oil producers, and they found that over a quarter of them, over 25% of them, were guilty of adulterating their products with low-grade oils or falsely labelling their bottles. They were compromising their olive oil. In Australia, the Australian olive oil is a premium product, but we get a lot of imported oils. The majority of oils that we use are imported here when it comes to olive oil and cooking oils. And the New South Wales government recently was pushed by the olive oil industry locally because they know what's going on and the practices that are happening in terms of compromising olive oil. And that they pushed the New South Wales government to test the international olive oils that were coming in, that were being imported. And 12 olive oils that were international were tested. They were classified as extra virgin because extra virgin means it is pure, never mixed with any other oil. It comes from the first cold press of the olive. The three Australian oils that were tested were found to be of high quality and pure. And they're the oils we use at home, because I've done quite a bit of research over the years on olive oil. But all nine imported oils that were tested failed. Whether they were Spanish, whether they were Italian, whether they were Greek oils. Names like Carbonell, Moro, Isabella, Bertoli, Paisimio, even the Woolworths homebred imported olive oils, including their sprays, were found to contain canola. And three of the oils were from the Woolworths Select range. They all failed because they were all a compromised product. They were found to be either poor quality, poorly refined, in one case rancid, in another heat treated, and in another case it wasn't olive oil at all, yet being passed as olive oil. And friends, this is what happens when we mix the original with the inferior. And we know when we mix truth with error, or when we start to compromise. This story and these stories highlight the danger of compromising and highlights the importance of always sticking with the truth and to never trust the truth, especially when it's mixed with error, even if it's 1% error. And friends, as we begin this new year today on the first day of 2011, I just want to highlight this morning, and the Lord has been putting it on my heart just to expose and highlight the fact that Satan is redoubling his efforts to compromise our spiritual position. He knows that he has a short time, and sadly, one of the ways he does that, he leads us to a mentality of what's wrong with it, a what's wrong with it mentality. And more and more Adventists are starting to ask in our church, more and more Christians, but what's wrong with it? What's wrong with dancing? There's nothing wrong with dancing. What's wrong with Christian rap? Christian rock? There's nothing wrong with that. And my prayer this morning is that as we study the Bible and we look a little bit at the spirit of prophecy, that we see that there is something wrong with these things, because it's truth mixed with error. As we see what the Bible has to say, what the spirit of prophecy has to say, 1%, even if it's 1% truth, or sorry, 1% error mixed in 90% truth, we need to be careful. Let's have a look at what the word compromise means. I want to have a look at a definition in the dictionary. Compromise means to arrive at a settlement by making concessions, to reduce the quality or the value or the degree of something, or to accept something inferior in place of the real thing. 99% of the real thing is a compromise, and Satan is in the business of counterfeiting and of compromising. It only takes 1% of the wrong thing to lead us down the path of destruction. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, where we see a little bit of the effects of compromise that the Bible's highlighting in this text. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9 reads, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Or in another translation, it's, "A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough." So a little bit of wrong can work through your life and change it and change you. And friends, this year in 2011, the message that the Lord's putting on my heart, and I pray in your heart, is to come back to living accordingly to biblical principles and to the counsel that we're given in the spirit of prophecy. And that's without compromise, which is something that's not easy to do, because Satan is attacking on all fronts. And as I look out at Warhope Church this morning, I see many families, and we've gotten to know many of you here and many of the families here. We've been here for a year now, and I just wanted to share with you what the Adventist Home has to say on page 32 about the influence of one well-ordered family, because I feel that it's something that we need to strive towards, and something that a goal that every family really needs to aim for. And Ellen White says in page 32 of the Adventist Home, "The influence of a well-ordered family. It is no small matter for a family to stand as representatives of Jesus, keeping God's law in an unbelieving community." And then she goes to say, "But one well-ordered and well-disciplined family tells more in behalf of Christianity than all the sermons that can be preached." And for families, that's powerful. I have three children, and I read that and I think, wow, that's powerful, because it highlights that I need to be ever focused on my family, because Satan knows this. Satan is aware of what you read there. And who do you think is going to target hard? Families. Because he knows one well-ordered family, well-disciplined family, tells more in behalf of a Christianity than all the sermons that can be preached. But yet, how does Satan lead us to compromise our relationship with God and to compromise our commitment to Jesus? Well, it comes down to having a relationship with God. And I know that if I was to ask everybody here, raise your hands if you feel you have a relationship with God, pretty much everybody would raise their hands, because we all have a relationship with God, or we all would claim to have a relationship with God. But the term relationship these days is used very loosely. Okay? What do I mean by that? Satan has a relationship with God. It's just not a good one. But we all claim to have a relationship with God. But what is it that makes a strong relationship? And the word relationship, and that's commitment. Having a commitment to God, a commitment which rules the way we lead our families. And I remember Pastor Richard O'Phill, who was here this year earlier from America, listening to a small story that he had to say. He was counselling a couple that were together. They weren't married. They were living together. They were saying, "But we share everything together, Pastor O'Phill. We're in love. We would do anything for each other. We share expenses. We share everything." And they, through that, they divulged they share intimate relations. And Pastor O'Phill said, "That's wonderful. It sounds like me and my wife. Why don't you go ahead and get married? But we don't want to make a commitment. We don't want to make a commitment." And sadly, that's the state sometimes that we find ourselves in. We can say we have a relationship, or we have a relationship with God, but sometimes it's really when it comes to making a commitment what counts. And Satan, he knows that. He's attacking our families. Both Satan and his goons, they're launching a full-scale attack at families in many ways, and we're going to expose some of those this morning, and we're going to look at some. Compromising our values, our spiritual principles, an all-out war on families. Have a look at the divorce rates. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think has the highest divorce rates, Christians or atheists? That's sad, isn't it? Because you all know the answer. Christians. We have a higher divorce rate than atheists. And according to normal divorce rates, we're pretty much on par, both Christians with non-Christians. And the atheists, in terms of statistics, are doing very well, but I'm not going to go too much on statistics, but in regards to their divorce rates. But young families, especially, and I include myself in this category, we need to be aware, because Satan is doing everything he can to break families up. In Australia, between the ages of 35 and 45, 50% of all couples divorce. Satan is active out there to break up his families. He's active. He has his agents out there. I want to share with you a story that I heard only a few years ago from somebody that was travelling in a train in Sydney, from Sydney to Newcastle. And they were an Adventist person. They were sitting in the back, but there was a conversation happening in the background that they'd heard. And there were some Gothic people, Gothics and pagans. I don't know if you know what a Gothic or a pagan is, but they generally dress in black, look very sad, paint their faces with eyeshadow. They just look, everything's black, jet black, and they're big on occult symbols and occult things. And pagans are the same. They're kind of like another branch of, I guess, the Gothics. I remember when I was doing some Bible work at Cannot Be Hidden a couple of years ago, and just knocking on doors, and I came across a pagan answered the door, and I must say that was a bit of an eye opener. But we started having a chat, and just asking, trying to build some common ground to see where they're at, and just asking her, so what do pagans do? And she's telling me, and some of the questions that I was asking she couldn't answer. And then she goes, you know, if my partner was here, he'd be able to answer them a little bit more, because he's a Satanist. And I'm thinking, oh boy, Lord protect me. But one thing that I picked out from both sitting in the train, this conversation, let me come back to the train story, because in this conversation there were some people that were sitting in the same row as the these Gothic people, and asking, so, you know, what are you guys up to? What are you doing? Oh, we're all getting together at a rally, a Gothic rally. And, okay, so what do you guys do there? He goes, oh, we're getting together and we're going to pray. Pray? What are you praying for? For families, for the breakup of families. And then this is what caught the ear of this particular person, especially Adventist families. We're all going to pray for the breakup of Adventist families. So friends, be aware, Satan and his goons, they're out there doing everything they can to break up the family. And why? Because he knows one well-ordered family is more powerful than all the sermons. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. We're going to do a little bit more exposing of these works of darkness and the counsel that we're given in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And we're going to look at some of the tools that Satan's using at compromising our values and our spiritual position. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 reads, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." We're told to expose these works of darkness. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. So we're going from Ephesians 5:11. Now we're jumping over to Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21, because we're going to expose some of these works. Galatians chapter 5. We're reading 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through to 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seductions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such of the like, which I tell you before as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, why am I reading this? Why am I raising these things? Adultery, fornication, witchcraft, murders, drunkenness, hatred, idolatry. Because, friends, the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that by beholding, we become changed. By beholding, we become changed. And Satan is a skillful charmer, because he knows if he can lead us to compromise, he knows that we will behold things that we shouldn't be beholding. And he knows the result of that, biblically, is that we will become changed. He's trying everything and anything to come into my house, to come into your house. And Satan, as we know, will tend to attack at the weakest points. We saw this in the Garden of Eden with Eve, where Satan appealed to appetite, to the lower nature. Everybody has a lower nature, and Satan knows where our hot buttons are, and he knows how to press them. And one of them that we have today is an incredible lust, insatiable lust, which means we can't satisfy the appetite for entertainment. We have an incredible lust for entertainment. Movies, dancing, PlayStation 2, Xbox, fashion, food, music. And friends, this used to be me. And this message is for me as much as the Lord has put it on my heart that it is for our congregation to hear. Because it wasn't very long ago, you could pretty much know that if it came to watching DVDs, okay, movies, arcades, playing games, I'd seen it. I'd watched it. I'd played it. I lived for worldly entertainment. And, you know, only as I look back, I think, wow, the snare that Satan had me at. So much so that it used to get to a point where going to a video shop was boring because I'd seen everything, I think. And it would depress me. But friends, we need to ask ourselves, are we beholding these things in our homes? And that's what I want to look at a little bit now, a little bit closer, at exposing some of Satan's works of darkness, but more so, are we beholding these things in our homes? Now, we've all heard what Ellen White has to say about the theatre. I know over the years in different churches, it's always a sore point because we love entertainment. We love to be entertained. We love going to the movies. And I grew up, I couldn't find the quote, but I grew up hearing that Ellen White says that when we go into the cinema, okay, our guardian angel doesn't go in. And as I said, I couldn't find the quote, but what I did find was another interesting quote of what she has to say about shows and theatres. She says, shows and theatres, Satan's ruling passion, okay, look at the language she uses, Satan's ruling passion is to pervert the intellect and cause men to long for shows. When I read that, I thought, boy, did he have me. To long for shows and theatrical performances. The experience and the character of all who engage in this work will be in accordance with food given to the mind. And that's just emphasizing again, you become what you behold. We cannot walk the streets of our cities without encountering flaring notices of crime presented in some novel or to be acted in some theatre. And as a result of that, the mind is educated to familiarity with sin. And many years ago, when I used to watch all these things and watch all these movies, that's what Satan was doing. He was familiarising my mind with sin. And friends, the issue is not whether you go to the theatre or not, I don't believe. Anyway, it's not the physical place of where you go. The issue is, what are you beholding in this place? What am I beholding in this place? Because, I repeat, Satan is a skillful charmer, and he's trying everything and anything to find his way into your house, into my house. And if you look at the context, I guess, of when this was written, back in the 1800s and 1900s, if you wanted to watch TV, really, where did you go? To the theatre. If you wanted to watch TV, or the equivalent of TV today, the equivalent, you went to the theatre. Back then, most of us would have had to go out to watch the equivalent of TV. But now, Satan, skillful charmer. And I know because I look back and I see how what he used to do in my life, that we've all got the theatre in our homes. And Satan has found a way to connect himself to almost every single Christian home in our country. And I'm leading towards television, and we're going to talk a little bit about television. I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but it's just, once again, another tool that Satan has. He's connected himself to us. And it's no wonder that our divorce rates are so high, that our children start to rebel, that peace leaves our homes. And I want to share with you just an email I received this week, which I thought, wow, was very timely in regards to statistics. And these are Adventist statistics. Email I received this week says, a current statistic confirms, and this is in our church, that 4 in 5 of our young people leave the faith by the age of 20. And why? Because Satan is a skillful charmer. He knows, hey, I've got a connection into their living room. He knows. And Ellen White had something to say as well, because I guess she was shown what it was going to be like, and that's why she counsels and writes a lot of counsel. She writes, but it is a painful fact that there is not one girl in 100 who is pure-minded, and there is not one boy in 100 whose morals are untainted. These are scary quotes when myself as a father, I look at them. And as a father, we need to read, well, let's reword that. Is that saying that maybe it's not just the children, not one parent? Because if the children are being exposed to this, what about the parents? And she also writes further down, we found not one parent in 100 fully understands the work committed to him in the training of our youth. And it's no wonder that these statistics, and these are current statistics, and I just praise the Lord that it crossed my desk on my email this week, that in our church, Adventist Church, 4 in 5 of our young people will leave the faith by the age of 20, simply because Satan is a skillful charmer and we're not training our children up. Have you ever thought why your living room is actually called a living room? I just stopped and thought about that for a little while, because I thought, well, generally where's a television located? In the living room, or it's the room generally that you will live in, that you will spend most of your time in. Yet a lot of the time it's also the room that should be set aside traditionally for worship. And many people hold worship in their living room. Yet in 95% of cases, when it comes to Christian households, Satan has a connection through a little box in our living room. And I'm not talking about the actual TV being bad or an evil device in itself. It's more a case of whether you're connected, whether you're plugged in to the free-to-air system. Because if you do, I believe from what I've seen, from what I've experienced, from people, what I've seen people experience, that Satan will have some kind of open door to your home. And it's interesting that even in the poorest of countries, okay, you might not have food for the table, but you can bet, especially the soccer mad countries, okay, no food, but you can bet they'll find a way to get cable TV so that they can watch their sport and watch their soccer. And friends, these are not just my words, but this message is for me too. It's a constant reminder. I want to share with you a story that I grew up with when I was growing up in the Spanish Adventist Church. I remember being about the age of 7 or 8 and just sitting in the car. We had a lovely family. We didn't have a car when we were growing up, and we had a lovely family that lived around the corner. Every Sabbath, faithfully, they would pick us up, take us to church. They had a van. And just listening to the adults talking about a man. His name was El Gran Quintana. Quintana being his surname. This would have been late 70s. And I just remember, and I don't know why, this story always stuck to the back of my mind. They were telling the story how this Quintana guy was known to be a bit of a lunatic, did a lot of crazy things, but at the same time he predicted several things that were taken as predictions and so forth. And at some point he got locked up because he created he did some hideous crime, and he got locked up and he was behaving in peculiar ways in jail. And an Adventist pastor was asked to go and visit him and see him in jail, and to see if they could bring any relief to this tormented man. And this Adventist pastor went to visit this man, Quintana, and started talking to him, and straight away Quintana looked at him and said, "Ha, you're an Adventist. Don't talk to me." He said, "Satan's got you guys sorted out." He said, "You know what's going to be the ruin of the Adventist people? Television." This was back in the 70s. And I don't know why that stuck in the back of my mind, but it's forever been a warning of how even the Lord in his mercy will allow Satan to expose himself. Because, as I said, in the majority of cases, and I know in Warhope Church, where we have a lot of families that don't have television and that understand what I'm saying, but the Lord's put it on my heart that there's still, this is something that needs to be pushed a little bit more because of the damage and the potential damage that it has. But more than anything, the door that it potentially may open to allow the enemy in, into our families, to disrupt us. I want to share with you another story of Satan's agents. And these all come from Satan's agents. And I don't want to dwell too much because I'm talking a lot about Satan, but sometimes we have to expose. We have to expose the evil so that we're aware. And I remember Pastor Gates one day telling a story how he was sitting in a bus in Peru and riding along the bus. He sat next to a man and past the gates. He likes to talk. He'll talk to anybody. And he says, I sat next to this man and just started talking. Hello, how are you? Good. They started talking. What do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. What do you do? I'm a warlock. Okay. A warlock, a male witch. And being intrigued, he said, so what does a warlock do? He says, well, you know, I cast spells on people, cause things to happen. And he said, but you want to know what where I really make my money? He says, I break families apart. He says, someone will come to me and say, I want that man, I want that woman to be my partner. And I'll cast a spell and it'll happen. And the marriage will break apart. And he says, I can do that on anybody. He says, I could do it on you if I wanted to. And Pastor Gates says, no, you can't. He says, yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. You can't. He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, just answer these simple questions. Do you watch any worldly movies? No. Do you watch any television? No. What about magazines? Do you read any worldly magazines? No. Novels? Do you read any novels, worldly novels? No. He says, you're right, I can't touch you. But it was true, and this is a true story. And it just goes to highlight and to emphasize the tools that Satan uses. Very subtle, skillful charmer. And we need to be aware, especially as families, we need to be aware, because he will compromise our way of thinking. He will compromise us and compromise so that we think, what's wrong with it? It's only a little. Can't all be bad. A common, I know with my mum, I've shared with her many times what my views on this are, and every time I go there, she says she doesn't watch TV, only the news. I say, okay, every time I go, I've got to go. The moment I walk in, I'm turning the TV off, because it's a struggle for me. If I leave the TV on, I can guarantee you I will sit there and I will spend the next hour or two just watching whatever's playing in front of my eyes. And you know, my question is, but okay, you only watch the news, Mum, but why would you leave the door open to temptation? Because there's ad breaks through the news, and I know when I see the ad breaks, I go, wow, that looks interesting. Or wow, especially with all our reality TV shows, it's human nature. We love to see what other people are doing. We want to know other people's business. And or an action movie comes up, or we might like movies of fantasy and Lord of the Rings and all this sort of stuff. And it'll gather our interest, and it's leaving the door. And that's what I've shared with my mother in this case. You're leaving the door open to temptation. And why? Because the ads would generally, same as Eve, Satan appeals to where? To our lower nature, to our appetite. He knows that we all have a lust for entertainment. And doesn't matter whether the ad's violent, whether the ad's immoral, okay, or an action, some kind of action movie or something of similar of the kind. It opens the door, and it can open the door and leave you to temptation. And at the end of the day, I guess when you think about it, if you want one, if you really want an excuse, Satan will give you one. Because I'd heard many of these things, I'd heard them throughout my life. I'd been in the Adventist church for most of my life, but always had an excuse. I always had an excuse. And Satan will help you to find an excuse. And friends, what we need to understand is that on one side, Jesus is pure, Jesus is white. On the other side, we have Satan. Satan is black and unpure. But Satan doesn't care if you're not in the black and the unpure, because he knows in between there are shades of grey. He knows that if he can get you into the shades of grey through compromising, just 1%, it's all I want, 1%, 1% compromise in your life, that he's got you. Because 1%, as I look back at my life, I can see, grew to 2%. 2% grew to 4. 4% grew to 8. And what I saw when I look back at my life, it grows exponentially like that, and it starts to climb. And friends, we need to be over in the white, in the pure white with Jesus. We can't afford to have 1% of grey. And today especially, because there's a huge spiritual famine in Adventism today. Because as I shared with you earlier, the bulk of Adventism, sadly, what's wrong with it? Okay, we have in our churches, we have churches where, and I know we've all heard this, that are okay with homosexuality, and that are okay with all these things. And why? It's because Satan knows, just a small shade of grey. And when you look at messages like the one Quintana gave, okay, God allows Satan to expose himself. But in this case, showing that television is going to be a major cause of a downfall of Adventists. And friends, this morning I just want to finish with just one more story, which was a recent story, which was sad. Now, I don't have all the details, and I don't know all the ins and outs, and I've been trying to chase up some more of the details, and I've shared this with some people. And that was of a gentleman I met probably about 2.5 years ago, and he was an Adventist, but he'd heard a similar message like this, and he decided to clean house. And what I mean by clean house, he decided to grab the TV, just pull the plug, got rid of the plug, disconnected himself from free-to-air. All his videos, he had quite a large video collection from Hollywood, and he got rid of everything, and I don't know if there was something else there, and we don't have all the facts, but what I do know, what happened next, which was quite alarming, and should really ask us all to search our homes and search our hearts. He just blacked out, and the next thing he knew, an hour and a half later, he woke up, and he had all the pastors around him and the elders of the church around him that were praying. And what had happened was, somehow, he had become a spirit, had got control of him, and had become possessed. And all he did was clean his house. Now, I'm not saying that as a deterrent, we should clean house. I'm just saying that there may have been something else there. We don't know. I don't have all the details. But the point is that this is real. It's not a game to play with. It is real. And Satan knows if he can paint it down low, make it... What's wrong with that? It's nothing. Don't worry about it. He knows that he can slowly weave and work his way in our lives. I used to have a television 4 years ago, and the Lord convicted me to pull the cord. And praise God that I did. I thought I'd miss it. I thought life was going to end. But it hasn't. Over 4.5 years down the track, I haven't missed it one bit. And as I said, I used to be addicted. Television, movies. For me, the last straw, and I won't share the details of it because there are a lot of children here, but I was doing what I think was, you know, normal, watching the World Cup. It was Saturday night. It's about 10 o'clock at night, half time. And I thought, oh, half time, flick through the channels, flick to Channel 10 and Big Brother was on. And I won't tell you what I saw, but what I saw, I thought, you can't show that on television. And what if one of my girls would have been watching with me? And that was the end. When I saw to the extreme that television had got, I said, you know, because in my mind it was 1% good, I can watch it. I thought, no, that's it. Sorry, 1% bad. For the small amount that in my mind was good, and I knew that there were a lot of bad things on TV, I said, no, I'm pulling the cord. And that was for me what, I guess, the catalyst to finally put an end to it. And, you know, all the time I thought, well, I can control it, I can turn it off, but, you know, I'm ashamed when I look back and see how weak I was. Because every time I thought, I'll just watch less. And I'll just watch the news. But you'd see an ad, and Satan, he's a skillful charmer. I saw how he would charm me to always, there's always something else that I'd watch. Or I'd always find time to watch something. And friends, I know that many of you don't have televisions, and praise the Lord for that, but I'm sure many of you do. And sometimes, in dealing with health issues, when you have a problem, the best thing to do is to take it away. And that's what had to work for me. The best thing I could do was to just to take it away and to pull the cord. So as we look towards another year, friends, as we look towards 2011, my prayer is that if you have a television, that you will reconsider. Have a look at the impact it may be having on your family, the impact it may be having on you. Have a look at the effects. Ask yourself the question, are you opening the door to a spirit or to something that shouldn't be in your home? Keep in mind that by beholding, according to the Bible, we become what we behold, or by beholding, we become changed. just want to share with you a quick story from Christian Burdell, who's a minister, and he also shares a similar story where he says that one of the most painful things when he pulled the cord was his children. He said for weeks he pulled the cord, but his children kept going to the remote control. Daddy, Daddy, the television's not working. You've got to fix it. You've got to fix it. And he'd be there at the remote control pressing the buttons. Nothing would happen because he'd pulled the cord. And he just saw the effect and the withdrawal that his children had to go through. And I pray that we don't end up getting to that stage. But praise the Lord that it's not too late. We can all make a decision. And for 2011, you know, friends, ask yourself. I pray that you ask yourself, is it time we should be reviewing what is actually connected into our living room? Ask yourself, is what Ellen White is telling us, for those of us that have studied the spirit of prophecy and know the messages, the divine messages that she gives, is her counsel from God? Is it right? Or did she get it wrong? Look at Satan's own, his own goons, his own agents, okay, trying to break up families. Quintana's message in the 70s, okay, telling us and exposing one of Satan's tools. Satan, you know, he'll brag about it and he'll expose himself, even though he's telling us it's wrong. A lot of the times we will continue to do it. So friends, in 2011, think about making a commitment, truly having a relationship with God, which means making a commitment. And it's not going to be easy to live according to biblical principles when we're so used to entertainment, when we're so used to what the tools that Satan will sometimes use can use against us. That's not to say that television, like I said, the actual physical box is bad, because a lot of us will just have 3ABN. It's what you're connected to. If we're connected to the free-to-air channels, that's when we're in trouble. So if it's television for you, I pray that you will pull the cord, pull it out of the wall. If it's watching Hollywood movies or Foxtel, cancel the Foxtel. Okay, cancel the DVD membership. Now, we don't even have time to talk about internet. Okay, for many of us now, Satan, the tools are just forever growing. The internet. And I work in information technology and I'm forever having to look and say, Lord, I can say I've got to scale down. I spend too much time on the internet, on emails. And a lot of the times, yeah, it can be justified, but a lot of times it probably can't. And Satan will find a way. If you need to put filters on your internet or cancel it. I know it's extreme, but I recall what Jesus told his disciples. Better to pluck, if an eye is causing you to sin, what did he say? Better to pluck it out. Your hand causing you to sin, cut it off. And that's the angle that I'm coming from. These are not big, well, they can be a big sacrifice, because it was a big sacrifice for me to eventually go and pull the cord. And I just recall when we cleaned house and we got rid of our DVDs, because I had quite a healthy Hollywood collection as well. When it came to throwing them out, you know what I did? I couldn't do it. You know what I did? I had to ask my wife. I accompanied her and just say, can you throw them out? I'll open the bin. And she grabbed them and she threw the movies out. I couldn't do it. And that's a sort of hold that Hollywood can get on us. So friends, I pray that the Lord will, that you'll search your hearts and the Lord will convict you as we begin a new year. Just to ask him, Lord, how would you have us to live? What way do you want to lead me for 2011? Because one of the scariest points that I realised in one of my worships one morning was to do with this, was that if we can't overcome on this point and something like this, it's going to be difficult to overcome the greater trials that we have ahead of us as a people. Amen. Would you all please stand and we'll finish with our next hymn, hymn number 341. Father, wonderful, merciful God, to you, God, be the glory. And Father, we just pray that as we begin a new year, that everything we do, everything we watch, everything we say, everything we think, everything we listen to, everything we read, may we ask ourselves, does this honour you, Father? Lord, we pray that as we leave your house of worship, that you will take us all home safely, that and that we may enjoy each other's company and fellowship, Father. And we just pray, Lord, for everybody here, for every family here, Lord, that you will keep us strong and keep everybody strong, united together in your love, following your principles of living, dear Father, that we may be a witness to you, Lord. And as the counsel was given, one well-ordered family speaks more than all the sermons. Father, this is our prayer this morning. Amen.